Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is October the 26th. It's a great fall day here in Georgia. I am in the studio today with an individual, Lee Lambert. Lee is an author with a new publication that we're going to speak of a little later in the show. But first, we're going to go to Dallas, Texas, where Brad Culp and Kevin Ritz are there. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. What, no banter this morning, Sam?
I'm turned over a new leaf. Since West Virginia is now an official Big 12 member, I'm going to change to.
I was going to say you probably turned over a new leaf because they had an unexpected loss last week.
You weren't supposed to discuss that.
That's why there's no banter this morning.
Okay, you're talking about the Texas Rangers.
You're sulking. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get to play tonight, though.
That's right.
Because the weather isn't looking very good in St. Louis.
Right.
So, but, it's certainly been exciting, hasn't it? All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started here. We got a full room this morning, and this is Brad Culp in Dallas. Kevin is on an airplane at the moment, so he won't be joining us today, but he'll be back next week. In the room with me today, I've got Greg Gerendis. Greg Gerendis is a repeat guest. He was with us previously representing Senior Adult Services here, where he is the chief executive. And today, he brought some guests with him from the Brain and Body Wellness Center, Dr. Ross Stewart and Elizabeth Stewart. And I'm going to let Greg introduce them, but first let me just say welcome, good morning, thanks for being here, Greg.
Thank you, Brett. Good to be back with you, and good to have the opportunity to talk about. As the director at Senior Adult Services, I'm always looking for people that represent what is part of what I would call the cutting edge of services that are available for people, especially dealing with the challenges of aging. And I have run across one of those individuals that I will introduce you to today. Dr. Ross Stewart is the Director of Clinical Services at Brain and Body Wellness Center. With him, by the way, is Elizabeth Stewart. She's the clinic director. Dr. Stewart is a neuropsychologist, and he is going to tell you about things that are part of this cutting edge of opportunity for meeting the needs of older adults and people in general. Dr. Stewart, tell us about yourself.
I'm happy to. Thank you, Greg. I have a PhD in psychology from Indiana State University, and I've been in practice for 41 years, which means the people that I help the most are the people who happen to be my age. I have seen approximately 29,000 clients in my practice over the many years. And for the last 10 years, I've been working in a field that's dedicated to really understanding brain chemistry. What we're looking to do is take those people who are in some form of cognitive decline, dementia, or Alzheimer's, and we're looking to regulate their brain chemistry in such a way that we're pulling some of them back from the edge. Now, please don't hear, Greg, that we're pulling 100% back, because we're not.
Right.
But we are certainly pulling a substantial number. And we're finding that as we deal with people who are 50 and older, that their number one fear is, guess what?
It's likely to be something related to their identity or their memory.
That's it. They're less afraid of cancer. They're less afraid of heart disease. Their number one fear is losing their memory and therefore losing their identity. The number one illness that they have psychologically is depression. And this is more or less epidemic. This is a really tragedy that people, when they get to a place when they should be enjoying their life or could be enjoying their life, without the stress of children, without the stress of building a career, they go into depression.
Yeah. So are you saying that the depression is a result of this fear of losing their memory and identity, or are there other causes?
The main cause is that after age 40, the brain chemistry starts to change, and there's a particular neurotransmitter called serotonin, and it starts into a tragic decline at about age 40 and gets worse and worse and worse and worse as time goes on. What we have is the capability in 2011 to take advantage of all the marvelous brain research that was done in the 90s. We now have ways that we can help people increase the amount of this neurotransmitter called serotonin. We do that with targeted proteins, not some oddball chemical, which means that people who are sad and depressed, and when it's biochemically based, we're pulling approximately 85% of those people out of the depression, regardless of whether they have Alzheimer's or dementia or cognitive decline. We're assisting those people in coming back.
Does serotonin exist naturally in foods that we eat every day?
The building blocks do. If you had a slice of turkey, that's going to be filled with the building blocks of neurotransmitters. It's going to be filled with 5-hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP. A lot of bodybuilders know what that one is. Oh, okay, too technical. But yeah, you're going to get this in eggs. You're going to get it in meat.
So when you say building blocks, is there's something that has to happen before it becomes serotonin? Is that?
That's correct. It has to be appropriately digested. And, oh, by the way, at age 40, the amount of stomach acid starts to decline. So you see there's these two things that are hand in hand going together that says aging is not our friend.
So what does the medical community have to offer when it comes to treating depression?
Well, we have a whole body of drugs that have to do with something called selective serotonin or selective norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. What they do is they take whatever level of neurotransmitter is there, and they try to re-regulate it. There's two problems. One is, after a while, there's not enough left to regulate or re-regulate. The second thing is, the research coming out of Johns Hopkins University is, after age 60, no commercial pharmaceutical impacts depression at all. So the antidepressants for people over 60 are useless.
Wow.
Oh, that's a powerful statement, especially when you consider how many people have depression over age 50, and it's a lot.
So over the age of 60, it's a waste of time and money.
It's a waste of time and money. And
take antidepressants.
Right. And you know, as we visit any number of elder care facilities, the staff there are so angry about the drugs that are being put under their people. They say all it does is tranquilize them into being zombies. They say we're not seeing any benefit, and it's almost universal. They're angry about it, the professional staff.
And isn't it true that those, not only does it not help people over 60, but it has a downward spiral that it continues to cause in brain health? Is that not the case? I mean, it's not like it's harmless.
It's worse than that. Of every 100 people who are on an antidepressant, 7 of them are legitimately helped. 7. 93 of those people are starting to experience so much brain damage and degradation of their system that they need to stay on it to overcome the damage that was initially done. That's a startling statistic, and that's verifiable in research. And the big name universities are coming out, and they're denouncing these things.
I don't imagine the drug companies are too happy about it.
That's a whole other story that I don't care to talk about in on the radio. But that is absolutely the case. And because diabetes is in the future of this country. It's already epidemic, but it's getting worse. The big pharmaceuticals have all but stopped doing research in terms of antidepressants and so on. Their research money is all going to diabetes, They see the wave of the future, and they say, epidemic now, getting worse. Here's where the money is. So we
were talking about this before the show a little bit. Alzheimer's, there's no cure. There are ways to slow the progress of the disease. Diabetes, on the other hand, there are things that can be done to prevent the onset of diabetes. Talk a little bit about prevention. What's in the research, both for diabetes and Alzheimer's? What is the research showing us? What's going to happen in the next 10 years?
Well, what's going to happen in the next 10 years, Alzheimer's, which is going to hit about 1 in 8 of people over 65, which means there'll be 5.4 million people suffering from Alzheimer's, which, by the way, is a blood sugar deregulation, basically. So you start seeing hand in hand, we go diabetes, we go Alzheimer's, and a lot of other degenerative diseases such as cancer. But 5.4 million people with Alzheimer's, who's going to pay for that? Okay, then we go diabetes. Diabetes is going to be very much higher than that. I mean, we know that conservatively, 60% of the population is bordering on obesity. That's not being fat. That's being obese.
What's the definition of obese?
20% over.
20% over your recommended body weight.
Right. So when we look at the health care issues involved with diabetes, they are enormously expensive. The current government projection is, and I find it, and I actually believe it because my medical doctor friends are concurring with this, is that Alzheimer's alone is going to bankrupt the medical care system in this country. If there wasn't that issue, diabetes alone would bankrupt the medical care system in this country.
Going back to the obesity issue, I'm just curious about how severe the issue of being obese is. What percentage of obese people will ultimately contract diabetes?
Depends how you define diabetes. Anyone who's obese most likely has spent at least 5 or 6 hours every day being diabetic. So it's 100%. And where are we going with people long term? Obese people are going to be diabetic. It's going to expand from the 5 or 6 hours into more of it. And so we take a look at Alzheimer's and say, well, hold it. Is Alzheimer's really this blood sugar problem that, like diabetes? The answer is yes. You know, when you look at cognitive decline, you look at dementia, and you look at Alzheimer's, there's only one sure way to know what a person has. And it's autopsy.
Very severe test.
It only works once.
Yeah.
And we have examples that of people work who were diagnosed with advanced Alzheimer's. 6 weeks later, we've had some of those people restored to full function because we got their serotonin levels up. Now, is that everybody? No. But these diagnoses, there's the claim, oh, we can diagnose everything. Well, it's simply not true. And if we're working on our percentage, which is part of a 2.2 million days of patient observation in our database, we're pulling back 34% of the people who have been had some form of cognitive decline, dementia, or Alzheimer's. We can't tell ahead of time who we're going to be able to help, but within 2 months, we pretty well know if they've had dramatic recovery. Praise the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And if we go to depression, which is epidemic, we're pulling people back at 85%. So there are about 900 clinics around the country that do something like us. So it is, and this is a well-established medical protocol, medically developed, listed with the FDA, massive studies. And what we're finding is when we get this serotonin level up, this thing we've been talking about, 7 areas of the brain that have gone still are back.
Mm. Wow.
So if it's your mother or father and you've got a 34% chance of bringing them back, to recognizing you again.
Right, right.
This is really exciting news for people.
Very exciting.
And one of those areas, one of those seven that's also affected by a current disease is how this is related to Parkinson's. Is that not another avenue that needs
to... That's absolutely right. Parkinson's is, there's another neurotransmitter called dopamine. And everyone who has Parkinson's understands dopamine. They understand, it's amazing what these people know. It's hard to do, but if we increase the building blocks of dopamine, people are becoming symptom-free. So their hands shake.
Right.
They have a head roll. Their bodies are stiff and they can't move them. They lose their balance. It isn't long before balance is back, their bodies are flexible, and they can write again. They can hold their head still. The regular Parkinson's medications are really tricky things because they only regulate dopamine. When you only regulate dopamine, serotonin isn't produced. That's the way the body works. Depression is the result,
yeah.
Sometimes schizophrenia.
Right.
And so if you regulate serotonin and dopamine, which we do, a person gets control of their bodies and they're happy again.
Let me, we're getting close on time here, and I want to introduce, I don't know you well enough to introduce you, but I want to give Elizabeth a chance to talk a little bit, talk about what you do, and then I really want to hear about Brain and Body Wellness Center,
okay.
You know, what you're doing, how people can take advantage of what you're doing.
Great.
So, Elizabeth, what's your story?
I'm Dr. Ross Stewart's daughter, and I took over this clinic about a year ago, and we looked at what we were able to do for people who had the symptoms of Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, and depression, and we said people over 50 can really benefit from this. So we changed the entire focus of our clinic to take care of that demographic of people. So it's actually really touching because we see people come in at the beginning and then we see what they look like after 2 months, after 4 months. And there was a very sweet gentleman who came in and he couldn't move, he was shaking. And he came back to us about 3 months later and he said, I can do things now that I was never able to do before. I can work in my garden, which I love doing. I can install my own light bulb, which is very exciting. And and so my office manager and I, you know, we're a little bit, you know, floofy like that. And so we started crying because this man was so helped, and it makes it worth it every day.
So did you come into the business after doing something else? Did you go to school and immediately join the family business?
I did. I did a couple of other things, worked a couple of other places, but I graduated with a degree in global business and decided that there is no place I would rather be than here. Mm. When you do good work, it's almost a no-brainer.
I just think about doing my business with my entire family, and that would be hard.
Well, you know, it's not hard when you can see the results every day of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So if it ever gets hard, you just look around you for a second and you say, oh, wait, this is why we're doing this.
And that's true. And I joke a little bit because actually at this point, 4 out of my 5 family members have worked in my business. And the fifth one is only 12. So her time's coming.
Time coming.
The truth is, Brad, we get along terrifically well.
That's great.
I mean, we've really agreed on a vision and a mission and practices and values, and we have a real dedication to making a difference.
I think the key thing here is that you're going to find in the clinic a true, just as Elizabeth, a true passion for helping people. We're talking about revolutionary changes in the lives of people that have been given a death sentence about Parkinson's, cognitive decline in some cases, that can completely be changed from what they've been told before. And it's going to stand a hair up on the back of some people's necks that seem to have an invested interest in keeping people ill. But this therapy is designed to have an impact on people like nothing else.
Hmm. So tell me a little bit about the clinic itself. Where is it? And along with that, and we really do need to wrap up because I'm sure Lee is chomping at the bit in Atlanta to talk. So,
okay.
But who would be, who should be looking to you for assistance?
There's actually two populations. One is if you're over 50 and you're starting to feel depression or cognitive decline in any form, get to us now. Also, if you have parents or loved ones that you see are starting to lose their memory, their effectiveness, their happiness for life, go to our website, look at what we're doing, and call us. About 40% of our practice is national. So we're not restricted because we're here in Dallas.
Mm.
Matter of fact, we have about 5% that's international. People have found us in some way. So we deal with them all on the phone, through the web, and so on. So if it's cognitive decline in any form, if it's depression in any form, if it's Parkinson's, we have superior answers that are filled with only direct good effects. There are no side effects to this because we're giving people targeted proteins. Medically developed, well-tested. The protein is actually a natural product. It comes from beans.
Mm.
That's our target population. And how people can get a hold of us is they can go to our website, and it's all spelled out. It's brainandbodywellnesscenter.com.
Or they can give us a call. Our phone number is 972-248-0780.
We're happy to give people free information, complimentary. I'll talk to people. Yes, I'll be happy to talk to people, let them know what we're doing, give them a brief overview. If
you mention this radio show, you will get a free 15-minute complimentary evaluation.
Very good.
But you got to mention Brad's name. If you mention Brad's name, you get the complimentary evaluation.
We kind of got the contacts ahead of the tip. I do want to go back before we close and ask you for a piece of advice for our listeners. We were talking about it earlier, and this is a very interesting piece.
Brad, here's the tip. We see that the short-chain carbohydrates, that's white bread, that's white rice, if it's white, it's probably not your friend. What we're looking to do is cut the carbs. And here's the reason. Carbohydrates are now the direct cause of obesity, blood sugar deregulation, Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease. This is what actually causes plaquing in the arteries.
Hmm.
It's these low-grade carbohydrates. As much as is humanly possible, cut those out of your diet. Stop eating them. Now, is it hard to do? Oh, it's murderously hard to do. The most fun things I ever eat, carrot cake with creamy gooey icing on it. I mean, this is really hard to do.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you can expect to live to be a healthy old person. If not, you're going to be depressed, fat, diabetic, with Alzheimer's.
And I think we were also talking about the three worst foods you can eat. Repeat that.
Number one, donuts, and the whole ilk of donuts. Trans fats clog your liver. The sugar gives you diabetes. But are they fun to eat, Brad? Mm. For some of us think they are. The second thing is sodas with sugar or high fructose corn syrup. This is the number one cause of weight gain in this country. People will drink 500 calories of sodas a day. That makes them fat. The third thing is French fries. Low-grade carbohydrates, the potatoes, cooked in trans fats,
right,
clog your liver, give you diabetes, Alzheimer's, and cancer.
And the distressing thing that you also told me was that you're not out of the woods if you drink diet soda as opposed to regular soda.
That's absolutely right. The whole thing with aspartame and so on, this is the most frequently reported substance to the FDA in the complaint category, more than 100,000 complaints a year. causes seizures, it causes all sorts of things, and it causes liver damage. Not your friend.
So now that we've lost our entire audience, Dr. Stewart and Elizabeth and Greg, thank you so much for being with us today. Again, if you want more information on brain and body wellness, go out to their website, brainandbodywellnesscenter.com. I think you have an email address that's Ross at the same address, brainandbodywellnesscenter.com. Phone number 972-248-0780. Thank you again. At this point, we're going to turn it back to Sam in Atlanta.
Well, Dr. Stewart and Elizabeth and Greg, great information. Very, very good. I appreciate you being our guest today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Joining me today in Atlanta, Georgia, is Lee Lambert. Lee has recently written a book, and she's going to tell us about that. Lee is also going to be a guest in the future as we develop this topic that she so dearly loves. So with that, I'm going to introduce Lee. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Brad.
Before we get to the book, let's do as we always begin shows. You tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us where you're from and how did you get to this point in your life?
Well, I don't normally tell people where I'm from. I'm from Alabama, but I've lived in Atlanta about 30 years.
Yeah, so you're a native, so no one will hold it against you now.
Good. My background is actually design and construction and manufacturing. And I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. I had a manufacturing plant here in Atlanta for furniture for quite some time, about 13 years. And the way I came into this industry was because of my father. He had Alzheimer's for 15 years, and I was his caregiver. So that's how it happened.
Interesting segue. Your father was a sufferer of Alzheimer's. Can we tie this to what Dr. Stewart says? What was his diet like? Can you just briefly discuss that?
Well, it's hard to remember his diet.
Well,
thinking back, there were so many things that I focused on, but I completely believe in what Dr. Stewart was talking about and focusing on the neurotransmitters. I wholeheartedly support him in that.
That's good. Okay, well let's come back off of the tangent and tell us a little bit about the book. Tell us why you wrote it, what it's all about.
Well, I wrote the book because during my time of caregiving for my father, it was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare. And I gained 50 pounds, which I've lost, by the way, became pre-diabetic. I started having panic attacks. I stayed in my home most of the time. I became a hermit. I went out to Costco for toilet tissue and paper towels, you know, the big packs.
So you didn't have to go out often.
So I didn't have to go out but once a month. And I kind of focused on daddy and law and order. And that's where I spent my time. So it was really that drove me after his death to look at this void of information and focus. I really want to change the landscape of caregiving and start this conversation because it's really needed. Caregivers are, for the most part, lost and adrift, and I want them to know that they are not alone, that there is information now, and not just information, but we are just launching this nonprofit, and there'll be a lot of programs and a lot of support.
You made a statement that caregivers are adrift and lost. How? Why? What causes this?
Well, usually it is, all of us get old. And let me just throw a few stats out. by the year 2030, there will be 72 million people, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, representing 20% of the population. About 85% will require some kind of home care assistance after 65. That's huge. USA Today says that 36% of all caregivers don't know where their parents' financial information is located. Jeff Huber, president of Home Instead for Senior Care, says the majority of caregivers have done no advance planning. So this gives you a little bit of an idea why there's a problem. Alzheimer's alone, Maria Shriver says, is this decade's defining challenge.
Yeah, I think it's important. This providing care for a loved one or a senior is not new, okay? It's obviously gone on since man began, but it's taken on a whole different content in our society. You have the number of baby boomers moving into this. You have modern medicine that through whatever means is extending the life expectancy of the seniors. You have seniors who have not planned for this because in the past it was a family, I don't want to say obligation, but responsibility. There's probably a half dozen different issues that are driving this. I know, and I've said this before on the air and I'll say it again, I know with every ounce of honesty that I have, I can say that 15 years from now, the new financial crisis in this nation will be long-term care, and it will be far more costly and far more dramatic than acute health care is today.
I agree. We are like a collective frog sitting in a pot of water waiting for it to boil as this silver tsunami approaches, and we have to do something. And as individuals and collectively, we're kind of all in a state of avoidance and denial. So, you know, this is my mission, is to change the landscape of this whole caregiving issue. It takes more than love. It takes preparation. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wrote this book.
All right. Tell us, how does the book help us in that avenue?
Well, care is the common thread that links all disease, and I'm focused on the elderly. There are a couple of things that are happening, though, during these years of caregiving. And I want to read you something first before I describe the book. It is part of the book. It's called Witness. As I meditated before leaving bed, I realized one of the greatest gifts I had received was from Sandy. Sandy was an accidental friend who showed up out of nowhere. She decided to hang around, not really knowing how to support my efforts, but there she was, committed for the long haul. She became the most consistent person with whom I could depend on to patiently allow me to wrangle around in my process. As I did so, an amazing thing began to happen. Hearing myself out loud as things began to formulate was at first helpful. But over time, it became amazing. I realized that she was my witness. She was there. She saw it happen. She saw a painful nightmare transform itself into a community project. If it sounds crazy, you may not realize how much time you spend alone as a caregiver over years and years. This is not a broken leg. This happens over a much more protracted period of time. Of course I had friends, but the time you spend with friends and the amount they can actually do for you is unfortunately limited. It was something for which I alone was responsible. If you're a caregiver, you know what this means. Appreciating Sandy made me realize that every caregiver needs a witness, someone who sees them, someone who sees what's happening, someone who recognizes the preciousness of the process. Most people don't understand that this disease is not only happening to your loved one, it's also happening to you.
That is a very powerful statement and a testament to what the book is all about. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what you hope to accomplish with this book. What do you believe, how can you impact the population of caregivers out there?
Well, there are two things going on during caregiving. One is the how-to, and this book is the roadmap of how to manage the care of a parent of an elderly person. It goes through, I talk about my story, and simultaneously I'm talking about what to do during that stage of the disease. There's home care. There's making a move. You know, the initial part is moving your parent out of their home that they may have lived in for 50 years. That one project is huge, huge and complicated.
And usually it's an insurmountable task.
It is. And so knowing ahead of time exactly what to expect and having it in a simple checklist format so that you can just go through, you're not processing a lot of information, it makes it very easy, you know, to go through these stages. There's having your parent at home, if that's the decision you make. And there are so many things involved in home care, making sure your home is geared toward handicap usage, making sure that you have the right equipment, making sure that you have renovated it correctly. All of those are projects. All of those are major projects that you have to have experience and knowledge. I can speak with experience from that because I have a construction background and a design background. Then there's assisted living. When there's a change in condition, there's a move. So assisted living, how do you choose an assisted living home? I go through each stage. How do you choose a nursing home, which is the next stage? What is hospice? How can hospice help you? When do you plan a funeral? If you wait till someone dies, that's the wrong time. That is, I say this. Funerals are an area where it's the only place where you're made to feel guilty for trying to save money.
and I've got a little personal experience there. First of all, my father and my mother and how we approached that, but even more pointed is that my father was a funeral director.
Oh, wow.
And when it came to the point in his life that we had to address his, guess what? He didn't want to talk about it.
Right, right.
And I thought it ironic, but he that was the natural human reaction, is to resist,
right,
to deny what is inevitable. So these are obstacles that that require much thought, much patience, and time to get through.
Well, it's a good point to make right now about the funeral, because in the book it talks about that spending money on the funeral ahead of time, you need 5 years of liquidating someone's assets in order to get financial assistance. And so if you don't know that, you can't plan for it. This is all about planning. And one of the things that you'll find having this roadmap is that as a family, when you start to sit down and make these decisions, and if you are talking to your parent about those hard questions, when to do what, the book kind of offers you a third party that's sitting there with you that gives you the credibility you need to say, hey, here it is right here, the book says. And you can talk about these in the order in which you need to and make decisions that are not made in crisis.
Yeah, that's the issue there, is that typically these things are not thought of or addressed till it you're in a reactionary mode.
Absolutely.
Versus being proactive. The book, is it published now or to be recent? Will be soon published.
It will be out within the next month. Okay. And it will be on Amazon.
Okay. All right, good. I know that as we were speaking earlier, there were certain things coming up that you're going to be involved in, certain events. Why don't you bring us up to speed on those events?
Sure. One of them is coming up is Christmas for Caregivers. And we are, by the way, looking for a caregiver who wants to share their story with us. And we want to decorate their house and give away a respite day for them for Christmas. We want you to know that you are not alone. So that is one thing. And we are partnering with an organization called Be Proactive. These are kids who take action on things they care about. And they will be the ones decorating the house.
Okay, now you say we are sponsoring. Is this the nonprofit that this is going to be?
That's okay. Correct. Okay. Yes, yes.
And the name of the nonprofit is?
The Caregiver's Companion.
Same as the book.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Anything else that you have coming up?
Yes, and I just want to say that you can take action yourself to support caregivers. And as an individual, as a church, as a community, as a corporation, and with Christmas coming up, if you know a caregiver that needs help and you want to sponsor a book as an individual or you want to sponsor a class, we're going to be starting classes that you can request that they be held in your church, in your company, in your community. It can be held anywhere. So as for an individual caregiver or for a group, we'll be having those classes. And please look around your community, look around your church, see who needs help, and give them the book for Christmas.
Good. Anything else?
I think that's it. You can contact me at lee@thecaregiverscompanion.org to find out what's going on and when exactly the book will be out.
Is there a telephone number that they could reach you? You don't? Okay, no. Okay, for our listening audience, she's shaking her head no. So go to the website. Lee, great information. Obviously, Brad and I gravitate to this because of what we do. And I certainly recognize and appreciate your efforts in trying to fulfill this void in that we have. And I want to continue to encourage you to move forward with the next book and the next stage. And again, once again, for our listeners, Lee is going to be a guest at some point in the future. We're going to have her on the show a couple more times to develop the topics within the book. So we look forward to that. Lee, in your experience in writing the book and taking care of your father, if our listeners are in a position who, whether it be their parents or themselves, then they might need some care, and they typically have addressed this like everyone else. They now are in the reactionary mode versus, you know, the proactive. What piece of advice might you give them?
I would say one thing, adopt an attitude of being proactive. I have a little quote here. I have a lot of quotes in the book. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible."
Well, that's certainly very, very pointed information, and it ties right in with what the first guest, Dr. Stewart, and his associates were speaking about. We know from experience that most people do not think this through. They do not plan for it. Great advice. We certainly appreciate you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We look forward to having you again.
Okay.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. We certainly thank our guest in Dallas, Texas. We thank Lee here in Atlanta for being with us. We want to remind our listening audience that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of this show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as always, in closing, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.